My name is Shar, and I am an alcoholic. Happy birthday to everybody, and welcome to the newcomers. You're in for the ride of your life. I won't tell you too much of a drinking story, because I think we've all been there, and we've all done that to some degree or another. We've all had our embarrassing, humiliating, shameful times. Maybe you haven't, but I certainly did. And I didn't come from an alcoholic home. I want you to know that. And this isn't about me. I was just told that. This isn't about me. A friend of mine just said, it's God. It's not about me. It's about God. Because God brought me in here. And there's no doubt in my mind about that. And I will get to that story, how I came in. Because it was a miracle. Anyway, I was raised in Oregon on a big, beautiful, wonderful farm with German parents. I had every advantage a kid could have. I didn't think so then. I learned good work ethics. We went to church. I learned good fellowship. I learned good companionship. I learned honesty. I learned truth. I learned everything there was to learn. Good. But I didn't know that once I picked up alcohol, pretty much full time. Well, I was a periodic drinker, but at 17, 18, that I would become an alcoholic. And I believe I was born an alcoholic. I believe the first time alcohol went into my system, I was addicted. I wanted more. There's never enough. And I go into blackouts and I don't know what I do. So isn't that fun? It makes for quite a story that I won't go into because a lot of it's very personal and I only share with my sponsor. I do have a sponsor. I had one sponsor for 25 years and she moved away. And so before she moved, I hooked up with another one. And wherever I've lived, I've had sponsors because I need directions. I cannot do this by myself. I need your help. I need everybody's help and I learn from everybody. Yeah, so I'm a kid on the farm, having a good time, I work hard, I learn good ethics, I learn everything, I learn to play the violin, I'm in 4-H, I'm just having the time of my life, and it was never good enough. My sisters didn't drink, my family didn't drink. I am the only alcoholic that I know of in our family. But being from Germany, there's probably several of us, maybe, that like to drink around Oktoberfest. It didn't have to be a certain date for me. And I was married 3 times in short order. Things were always going to look better over there. They were better over there for just a short time. And then I got restless, irritable, and discontent. That's me. And when I got in those moods, I had to drink. So I say I didn't drink every day, and no, I didn't. I got too sick. I am allergic to alcohol. I break out in hives. I used to thought that was pretty because I didn't have to put on any makeup at that time, you know. And I am sick. I am sick for 5 days after I go on a binge for one night. And that should have told me something. It didn't tell me anything except whenever I was feeling sad or depressed or happy or glad or any feeling that came along, my dog died. Oh, for heaven's sake. I got a new dog. Oh, goody. I had to drink. I had to drink to get through my feelings because I couldn't stand my feelings, and I never knew what was wrong with me. I did not know. My sisters used to say, why do you go to the bar and you have these beautiful animals and you cry. I used to sit down and lay down in the straw and just cry with them. I did not know. I did not know that at that time. I found out since, after I was sober a few years, that I suffered from depression. And that's a thing all into itself. We don't need to go into that, or I don't need to go in with that. But there's help for that. And so I drank and I partied and I gave away everything I loved. And everyone who loved me until I was 44 years old, and I got sober, so you know I'm old, in November 15th, 1988. So the last 28 years have been the best years of my life. None of my grandchildren or my great-granddaughter has ever seen me drunk. And for that, I'm grateful. And they are too, probably. I want to start with how I came into AA. I always worked. I always had a job. I was always responsible as far as paying my bills, making money, keeping a clean house, making it look good on the outside. And then I was, make a long story short, I'd worked for 5 years up at Pinecrest Lake Resort as assistant manager up in the Sierras. And a guy came in one night. This was God talking to me way back then. He came in one night and he was celebrating and he asked for a 7-Up with some cherries and oranges and pretty things on top. And I was bartending. And I said, well, what are you celebrating? And he said, 10 years of sobriety. I went on a hot air balloon ride today over in Tahoe, or over by Tahoe. And I went, oh. So there was my first little, I had never heard of AA before. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I just didn't know. And then I was living up there in those mountains, up there, and I knew I was going to die. I was driving across Sonora Pass, which is 9,680 feet, if I remember right. And I had Willie Nelson on singing Amazing Grace. And I had a bottle of whiskey in between my legs, driving a little silver four-wheel drive. And I just kept pushing Amazing Grace over and over and over and over and over, all the way home. And I made it. And I thought, I'm going to die if I stay here. And I still didn't know why. Why was I going to die? But I am going to die if I stay here in the mountains. Probably would have driven off a cliff or something. So I gave a notice, and I gave a long notice, and I was offered some very good things to do, like take a job in Hawaii at one of the resorts and do this and that. And I thought, no, I've just got to get away from here, and I don't know why, except I will die if I stay here. So I had visited Pismo Beach in 1971, and that's the only time I'd been here. But I remember driving from Oregon, driving around the corner when you see the ocean for the first time. I remembered that. And I thought, no. So I got the newspaper. I ordered from the Chamber of Commerce, and I researched Pismo Beach and, you know, gave my notice, had a big going-away party, and all these things. And I got here. I didn't have a place to live, didn't have a job. I had some money saved. And I thought, well, I'm just going to kick back and relax and take some time off. I worked all my life, you know, almost every day. And so I get here, and I get drunk all by myself. And during that drunk, I remembered that I had called, because I was a blackout drinker, you see. So I don't know if you ever played phone tag, but I called lots of people all over, even the BBC. So my phone bill was always pretty big. Anyway, so I called, I remembered in a blackout calling my friends in Texas, where I used to work also, and Louise, and I was drunk, and I remember Louise telling me that she and John didn't drink anymore. That's all I remembered. So the day I woke up with my hangover, the day I went to my very first meeting, I asked God for help, and I was serious, and there weren't any bargains, there weren't any promises, there was nothing. It was just, what do I do? And this voice came down, and people can say I'm crazy, I am a little weird, and that's fun too. And this voice, this loud voice, I will never, ever, ever forget, said to me, call Louise in Texas. As clear as that. I called Louise in Texas, hungover. She happened to be home, and she told me to go to an AA meeting. I asked her for her what I should do, and she said, go to an AA meeting. I want you to go today. I was at that meeting at noon. It was on Halcyon Road in an old condemned building. And I sat out in my car. I got there for the noon meeting, and I sat out there in my car, and I was scared to death to get out. I was embarrassed. I was so ashamed. my soul was dead. I didn't know what to expect, and I was crying, just crying so hard. And this gentleman, Brad, came out of that meeting, or there wasn't anybody else there yet. He came out, and I had my car window down, and he greeted himself and told me who he was. I'm Brad, I'm an alcoholic. And he opened the car door, and he said, "Would you like to come in?" And I got out of the car. Whoa, who is this guy? And he put his arms around me, and he said, "You never have to feel like this again." It still brings tears to my eyes. Sometimes I'm a crier. Sometimes I just laugh a lot. But that always, I will be forever thankful for God for putting that man in my life. Because he took me in and he said, "Now this is what we're going to do." And you know, that long ago, it hasn't been that long, but they still smoke. So he had me do ashtrays. He introduced me to this beautiful lady. She carried a pistol. Now I have a sponsee that carries a pistol. What's up with that? I'm scared of guns. Anyway, so, but she's beautiful and she drives this nice car and she's all dressed up and she has diamonds and all this. And he said, "And this is Nancy and this will be your sponsor." So I was given a sponsor my very first day. I just went along with it because I didn't know what else to do. I was supposed to do, my friend Louise told me, do whatever they tell you to do. So I said, okay. And she picked me up and she took me to women's meetings that very first week. And she wanted to know where I lived, and she came and picked up. She wanted to see how I lived. She wanted to know me. And nobody had cared about me for a long time. And she cared about me. She cared that I wanted to not drink, and I never wanted to drink again. And so I will tell you that she took me to meetings. I hated those women's meetings. I liked men. I mean, I'd had a few, you know, in my life. And I hated those women's meetings. And it's because of my ego, and I thought they were better than, and they had these little cliques going. I don't know if you're new in AA, but you'll probably think, oh, there's those little cliques over there, and these people do all that, and those people do that, and I'm never invited anyway. Oh, whoa, is me. Oh, you know, that's how I felt, like I was never going to fit in. And I was shy and pretty bashful. People that know me now can hardly believe that. And so I was taken in. And I remember I was about 3 months sober and I was flirting with this cute guy. You guys might remember him. He died a couple years ago. And actually, I was dating him after all those years. Bill Mankey. Water Walking Willie. Anyway, I was flirting with him, and this one woman came over to me, this group of women, and she took me aside, and she put her arm around me, and she said, "You guys are staying away from this one. She's going to stay sober." Ah! So I got some good direction right off the bat. That doesn't mean I always followed it. I'm not going to lie. I moved a lot in sobriety. I wasn't settled yet, but I stayed home. Or stayed sober and close to AA. And I moved 19 times my first 3 years of sobriety. 19 times. I moved from California to California to Palm Springs to back up to the resort. I had some amends to do there. To Oregon. Back to California, to Arizona. I was always going to do this new job. It was going to be better. So I still hadn't come to terms with my restlessness. And so I talk about that because there's a lot of us that like to move around a lot. 16 years ago, I bought my little place, and I've stayed here ever since, and that's good. That's good for me. And that first sponsor I had died of alcoholism. I drank it 11 years and died. And so I got another one then, and that was newly in sobriety, and that was Snooks, who's now moved to over by Las Vegas and had her for 25 years. And those, all the late women in my life have helped me. I have a sponsee now that is helping me so much because I don't like to go out. I like to stay home. I really like to stay home. I enjoy my home. I enjoy my little garden. I'm an artist, so I like to do things, and I like to play music and kind of be alone. And she's getting me out, and that's what all this sponsorship stuff is about. You get somebody in your life, you find somebody, and you just start doing things with them. And after this amount of time, I'm starting to do more things, and it's fun. So I kind of skipped ahead. I'm not a speaker. I'm not funny. I'm not going to tell bad stories. But I can talk about these 12 steps in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and what it's done for me. I still work. I retired at 62, and then I started a business. And now I still work almost all the time. And isn't that fun? Isn't that fun that I'm healthy enough to do that and that I'm sober enough to be trusted in people's homes and take care of their animals and give injections and different things like that? So I'd like to talk a little bit about the 12 steps. When I came into AA, the very first thing I heard at that very first meeting was, I'm getting older, I had to write it down. My very first meeting, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. If you drink over anything, you'll drink over anything. That's what sticks in my mind from that very first meeting, and I had a hangover. I was sick. I was very sick. And so I listened. For once in my life, I listened, and I thought, oh, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. What's the miracle? You know, what is that? And I'd always believed in a God, but I didn't know what God was. I always had questions for my minister, for pastors, for my Sunday school teachers. Nobody could ever answer my questions. I was so curious who this God thing was. And through AA, I have learned what works for me. And so I come into AA. I admit I'm powerless over alcohol and that my life had become unmanageable. Well, that's pretty darned easy to figure out. You know, once I knew that day I was an alcoholic, I knew deep in my soul I was an alcoholic. That's what was wrong with me. Then, and look where my life was. I mean, just because I had a little money and had a place to, you know, found a place to live and all that stuff, doesn't matter. It was, my life was unmanageable. And then step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I love that, you guys, because I found out I was insane. I wasn't just crazy. I wasn't just drinking and partying. I found out I was not sick getting bad. I'm not bad getting... No, wait, is it? What is it? Okay. See, I told you I'm not a speaker. I'm not... bad getting good. I'm sick getting well. And that made sense to me. I thought, okay, that's sanity. Some part of sanity is going to seep in there. And maybe, if I don't drink one day at a time, just today, some reasonable measure of sanity will come back. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood Him. That was a new concept because I didn't understand God. And as our friend George says, the God that I have but I don't understand at all, that's the kind of God I have. And I got to have my own understanding and make it work for me to know that there's something way bigger than me, way bigger. And how I got here in the first place to AA, how I came in, how God talked to me. Okay, there's a God, and so I will figure out a way to understand Him. It's taken a long time, and I still don't. And then made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I wanted to do that right away when I got sober. I wanted to do it like in 3 weeks. And my sponsor made me wait a little bit longer, but I was so ashamed, and I had so much stuff that I wanted to be rid of that nobody in my entire life knew about. They were secrets, big secrets. And I wanted to get it over with. And so when I finally got to do that, and I got to admit it to God and to my sponsor, another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, I remember she told me to go to the beach, and I went to the beach, sat on a chair, and I fell sound asleep. I was ready to have God remove all those defects of character, and it was sunny, and I just fell sound asleep, and I woke up knowing that if I followed this, whatever this Alcoholics Anonymous program fellowship thing was, that I would be okay no matter what. And that's a wonderful realization to come to. Then ask him to remove my shortcomings. Well, I got lots of those, and they're still popping up, so I'm still working on that one. There's a lot of them. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I wanted to do that right away, too. I wanted to go tell my boss's wife that I slept with her husband only one time, and I was drunk, and so, you know, I made him drink, and I wanted to go get rid of that stuff. Oh, am I glad I had somebody to lead me in the right direction and not tell all those things and harm another person. Because I was ready, you know, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except so when to do so would injure them or others. I would have injured people. I would have injured people badly. And so a lot of my amends have been made through the mail. They've been made financially. It took me about 15 years to make one financial repair, and what I did was I went to the bank, and I didn't want them to know who it was coming to, so I had them put it in a cashier's check, and they had 90 days to cash it, and it didn't say who it was from, it just said what bank it was from, and they will do that. And so that felt good, because I still have, God only lets me remember bits and pieces of things because of my blackouts. And so Thank God he didn't make me remember everything at once, because that would have just been overwhelming, and I probably would have had to drink. And so I still get little bits and pieces. I might look at something or walk by a certain flower or a certain hillside or see a face that resembles somebody, and I go, oh, God, there, I got to do it again. Another direct amends is coming about. Or if I can't find them, then at least a letter. And So that was that. So that made sense. All of this stuff eventually made sense to me. And I wanted to rush through it, but it's taken a long time. It's taken a long time. The fourth step, fifth step, I wanted that out of the way with. But because God is who he is, and I was who I was, I still have things that need to go on a mini fourth step to share. So it's not all done yet. Anyway, and continue, that's part of continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. I try to do that. I try to not lie, cheat, or steal, because I was all those things when I came in here. I still lied. I lied today to Terry, and then I told him afterwards it wasn't the truth. Well, think about it. I still sometimes want to steal attention. That's stealing. Lie, cheat, and steal. Cheat. I'm not a cheater anymore. Yay, I've made progress. That's because I don't do those things I used to do anymore that caused me to cheat. So anyway, I still get to admit my wrongs. And I still get to pray. I have prayer and meditation to improve my contact with God as I understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for me to carry that out. I don't know what his will is. I have not a clue. I don't know. I'm clueless. But I do know that he has given me a gift. I am only sober by the grace of God. Only sober by the grace of God. And I know that he doesn't want me to drink again and cause havoc in people's lives, because that's what I do. That's what I do when I drink. I'm just like a tornado that it talks about in the big book. Just a tornado. And I'm flying through the air and through people's lives and through jobs and people, places, and things. And I don't ever want to have to do that again. And then the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I try to carry the message. I don't believe I'm good at it, but that's ego. The only thing I know for sure is I know how to stay sober. And if you follow me, you can stay sober too. You might not always like what I do. You might not always like what I say. But if you just pick yourself up and follow, as Terry did, his first day he was drunk when I took him to a meeting. And he's here, you know, almost 7 years later. I saw Kit come in. This is like old home week here. There's not anybody here that was sober when I got sober, except that gentleman back there was 41 years. But there's lots of people out there. I saw Keith come in. I saw Esteban, who used to go by all these other names. And was quite the lady killer. I saw Dennis, I saw Terry, I've seen Kim, and Robert. Robert came in with this big old chip on his shoulder, big old guy on Harley with all of his duds on and leathers and chains and looking good. And you know what? I just knew he was a big old teddy bear. He didn't scare me a bit. I said, keep coming back. So I try to carry the message, and I don't know if I do as good as I could, but I do the best I can. That makes sense, yeah. On any given basis, any given day. And so I am so grateful that I don't have to drink anymore. Thank you for letting me be of service. I'm not going to talk long because I'm not a talker. Well, I'm a talker. That's a lie. I'm a talker, but this makes me very... I'm going to be honest. I was sick to my stomach today. I had to take a long walk. Now, I have 28 years sobriety. It should be a piece of cake. I took a long walk. I took pictures of flowers and of beauty and of old limbs and broken things, and just to get out of myself long enough so I wouldn't think about what I was going to do tonight. So I didn't write anything down except that little thing that I always carry with me about if you drink over anything, you'll drink over anything. So I didn't write anything down. But I would like to read this for all of you and suggest, as you newcomers come, or everybody keeps coming back, talk to your sponsor. I've learned, you don't tell your secrets. Woman can tell them to a woman, man to man. You don't tell them openly at a meeting. Try not to swear. I do that every once in a while. But not too often. And try to be accountable for your actions. And you'll have a good life. You'll have a life that you won't even believe you could have had. Everything has come back to me. Every single thing has come back to me in a better form. Just, I have peace. I have happiness. I smile a lot. I'm not always happy. I get depressed. I am not always happy. I'm not always giggly. Most of the time. About 85-90% of the time. But I am always, always, always grateful. So if I'm grateful, then I remember I'm an alcoholic. I remember what God's done for me in the grace of God. And I come back one more day. So here I am, up here. So I would like to read this. It's on page 312. It says, and I'm going to change the 15 years to 28. The last 28 years of my life have been rich and meaningful. I've had my share of problems, heartaches, and disappointments, because that is life. But also I have known a great deal of joy and a peace that is the handmaiden of an inner freedom. I have a wealth of friends, and with my AA friends, an unusual quality of fellowship. For to these people I am truly related. First, through mutual pain, and despair, and later through mutual objectives and newfound faith and hope. And as the years go by, working together, sharing our experiences with one another, and also sharing a mutual trust, understanding, and love, without strings, without obligations, we acquire relationships that are unique and priceless. There is no more aloneness, that awful ache, so deep in the heart of every alcoholic that nothing before could ever reach it. That ache is gone and never need return again. Now there's a sense of belonging, of being wanted and needed and loved. In return for a bottle and a hangover, we have been given the keys of the kingdom. Thank you for letting me share.